For Radio Autonomía, this is a special interview with Mexico City-based hip-hop artist Boca Floja. So we're here in Oakland, California, in Oscar Grant Plaza, which is where Occupy Oakland set up its camp last year, and it's really an important space for struggles here in Oakland. We're going to do a short interview with Boca Floja on the theme of education and hip-hop. So to start us off, can you give us a bit of history of the collective Quilombo Arte, maybe beginning with the name itself?
Bueno, el colectivo Quilombo Arte retoma...
Our collective, Quilombo Arte, picks up the name Quilombo as a way to affirm issues of identity, specifically questions of race. The name Quilombo comes from the colonial era and refers to those autonomous spaces of slaves, Indians, and blacks who escaped the colonial regime to form autonomous communities on the margins of the colony. From there, they were able to negotiate with the colonial system. So we retake this name as a kind of metaphor for those struggles that have influenced us the most. As a collective, we've been working publicly for 7 years. This year, we celebrated our 7th anniversary of working with rap as a transformative tool through music.
On Quilombo Arte's website, you refer to the use of non-orthodox educational tools. Tell us a little bit about what this idea means.
Básicamente estamos tratando de utilizar el rap y la poesía como una pedagogía contrahegemónica.
Basically, we try to use rap and poetry as counter-hegemonic pedagogy. We're trying to link up with marginal communities through the artistic elements that are more relevant to them. Rap is an experience and a language that in some cases can be more relevant, closer, and more palatable to the ears, the eyes, and the understanding of many young people who speak that language in a way that comes more natural to them. So, using those cultural elements and examples, we can break with the hierarchical barriers that sometimes exist in the communication of knowledge. Basically, what we try to do is an exercise of cultural exchange without the traditional oppressive formats that education often reproduces, like when there's one person who judges what processes and information others should receive. So we try to use cultural elements that are not hegemonic, culture that's relevant for our people.
Your new album, Patologías del Invisible Incómodo, which came out in February, is described as a concept album. Can you explain us a little bit about the idea behind this project and why you wanted to produce a concept album?
Today's music industry has a format of production that basically consists in producing singles, or a collection of singles. With this album, I'm trying to focus on a specific concept so that each song has a direct connection with the others, and the whole album has a theme behind it. In the case of this album, it speaks about the oppressed body as a vehicle of transgression against hegemonic structures. It speaks to the invisibility of persons of color, transgressing those spaces. It also speaks to those supposed pathologies or mental conditions that colonization has left us with as colonized people, and the way that we relate to our own body through food, sexuality, and our own psychology. So that's basically the theme of the album.
Last week, the third video for the album came out for the song Agonía. It treats the question of food politics very explicitly. To us, it seems that the video has a really sort of explicit pedagogical objective, as much in the lyrics as in the fact that the video itself is subtitled in Spanish and in English, so that Spanish speakers or English speakers can understand all of the content. Can you tell us a bit more about this song in particular, about the production of the video, and about how this song serves as an example of the need to create more popular awareness about a theme that's as important and urgent as food?
You know, like you mentioned, it's an urgent topic. We've come to naturalize food without realizing the ways that the colonial process and the mercenary capitalist system use this tool as a form of extermination of many of our communities. There are lots of examples. Communities and whole societies are suffering from seriously deplorable physical conditions because of this food system, which not only has physiological effects, but also economic, social, and cultural effects. So I had the intention of speaking about this issue in a way that it would be presented in two languages, given that it's not only a problem for communities in the United States, but rather it's something that's happening all over the world. And it's important to address it and to try to articulate it in those terms. It's a really relevant issue for me, and I think that's why the idea was to do the video with subtitles.
In all of your work, there's a clear anti-colonial consciousness, with the theme of emancipation appearing everywhere. I think we can say that rap continues to be a space dominated by men. In so-called conscious hip-hop, there are more and more women appearing, but for me, it's a problem that still affects hip-hop. Thinking about the connection between hip-hop and education, and the strong legacy of feminists of color and third-world feminists in the development of radical pedagogy, we're interested in hearing about how you see the role of anti-patriarchal politics in your work and within these initiatives to create an emancipatory hip-hop that's an anti-systemic hip-hop, an anti-state, anti-colonial, anti-capitalist hip-hop.
I think that the responsibility that we assume when we attempt to develop an artistic proposal that breaks with all of those systems of oppression and hierarchical and historical structures can't ignore the struggle against patriarchy. We ourselves are trying to emancipate ourselves from these internal processes and learning to recognize our own contradictions and somehow move towards liberating ourselves from these systems. I think it's fundamental. I don't know if it's a question specific to hip-hop or if it's an issue that affects all art and that many oppressed and not oppressed communities have faced. It's really crucial that we do this work and use references that don't only come from one particular gender identification. I think the participation and collaboration of more women in projects in some way offers another possibility, another face, another context to the work that we do. In this sense, it's always been a concern for me. I think that it's important, not only in terms of artistic expression, working with women, but also in terms of intellectual references, and in the work and in the form that we relate to other projects. It's one of the most difficult conflicts to resolve, because the whole cultural system functions in a really determinate way. And I think that hip-hop is a consequence of those cultural systems that are exclusionary in terms of gender.
What is radical pedagogy for you? What is a pedagogy that breaks with hegemonic structures do?
Before anything, it has to be a pedagogy based on the principles of empowering the person who is the supposed listener or learner. It breaks with the idea that there is one person who transmits knowledge and there's another who only receives it. And clearly it's about identifying information and references to authors in a cultural system that is benevolent and coherent with capital and the system. And we certainly cannot continue saying that simply promoting reading is enough to be able to continue advancing as communities or as individuals. It's not just about reading, but about looking at what our people are reading. It's not about revising history, it's about redefining history. So we talk about the process of unlearning. We arrive at the point where we have to, in some way, reset ourselves, begin to erase all this knowledge imposed on us in order to start learning again. So, in this sense, the possibility of using art as a pedagogical platform, jumping over this process of learning unnecessary, erroneous, manipulated information, is already a revolutionary act in itself. So to be able to discover these new forms is fundamental for us. The other thing is that rap grants us the possibility to have a direct impact on people, on a certain type of person, and with the communities that interest us the most. Because many times it's difficult to get people to participate and to be interested in an issue that for them seems abstract. So through the language of rap, and the experience of these communities in the street, somehow we're able to get their attention and exchange ideas with them through the use of a language that is much more familiar.
Great. Well, we're really happy to have you here in Oakland with us. Thanks so much. For more information about Boca Floja and Quilombo Arte, and links to videos, music, and much more, visit their website, www.emancipation.com. That's EmancipaSSion. For the complete interview and the original Spanish audio, visit radioautonomia.wordpress.com. Masaje para el espíritu, mi estómago que escupe toda patria. Sonroja su memoria por veneno en cada ingesta. Anemia falciforme debilita la protesta. Monsanto nos bendice con su tóxico divino. La sangre no perdona su atracción por lo bovino. Refrito de pobreza que reprime en toda plaza. Diabetes, vale en casa y mata el flow de la melaza. Lujuria por un trozo de ese queso y su bigote. La espada atravesada saca punta a su bigote. Carroña para el esclavo, luego un cerdo nauseabundo como dosis. Seduce nuestro plato regalando triquinosis. Este es la hipnosis de una flor por homicidio. Sabor a canapé con maquillaje de Porfirio. Idilios en bandeja de un hombre sin pareja. Dos hábitos impuestos por la fuerza de entreceja. Lactosa que nos funde recordando el cautiverio. Azúcar se crack para una infancia sin misterio. Hoy el navajo ya no puede con su peso y pa' correr aquel casino. La mesa ya está puesta, cuatro donas y una estrella celebrando a su asesino. Hay un enema que depura la arrogancia masculina. Su cuarto de control tiene poder en tu cocina. Mata el misterio con un bajo y su fascismo. La euforia se despide pa' matarnos de vergüenza. Sale el sol y no es lo mismo. Su plan era engordar la maquinaria del trabajo. Su plan era bajarle la presión al cabizbajo. Bajarle la moral al perejil de la sabana. Colgarnos los manteles de un cordero a la inocencia sin mañana. Fundirnos en el bosque de una orgía autodestructiva en su cabaña.
But Americans, they don't understand their food. They just want to consume and at the cheapest price. While everything's imported there from coffee to rice. And the people that grow it barely get a supply. While suicide genes and seeds modified destroy entire villages and ways of life across all the tropics. Monsanto must be stopped. It's a problem like Walmart and our dollars. Spent frivolous on a system that's killing kids. We benefit intimately with convenience. Every time we eat a fruit that is seasoned without thinking, the legacy of flinch.
Gotta break ground and go. Suplemento.